First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Say hello to one another in the Lord. Greet somebody you don't know. Say hi. Hi, Ray. I know you. We are united in the resurrection of Christ Jesus. We continue to celebrate that resurrection and the life that he gives. God continues to bring us life as a vine. He is the source, and we receive his life and use it to bear fruit in this world. That's kind of the theme we have for today as we move along this Sunday and rejoice in God's life, the resurrection reality that we are connected to the vine. We begin our worship tonight with our first hymn, an Easter hymn, With High Delight, hymn 467, With High Delight. Let us unite, hymn 467.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Tim Kuske will be bringing us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading, 1 John 15:1-8. Keep your connection to the vine. The congregation will open up the service with hymn number 467 from the Christian Worship, With High Delight. Let us unite. Hymn 467.
Please rise.
Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, come quickly to help. give glory to God, our light and our life. Come, O come, let us worship. Come, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our Savior. And a wondrous God, cupping in your hands all the depths of earth. You made the hills and the mountains high. You made the seas and the dry land. Come. Let us worship and bowing low, kneel before the one who has made us all. You are the God whom we call our own. We are the flock that you shepherd. Come. Let us shout with joy to our saving rock. Come, enter in with our songs of praise. Thanksgiving.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. In some ways, this is just like the nature God created. I found out a few years ago that in forests, the trees underneath the ground actually connect their roots one to another if they're the same species. And if one has trouble over here, the one over here can help it. If this one doesn't have enough water, water can be sent from others. And it's amazing how that interdependence is exactly the way God wants us to be, including with Him. And that's what we see with God's believers, that we are interdependent for the life that Christ gives, and we pass it along to others. We read from Acts chapter 4. The whole group of believers was one in heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they held everything in common. The apostles continued to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power, and abundant grace was on all of them. There was not a needy person among them. For from time to time, those who were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds, received from what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each one according to what anyone needed. Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our psalm. Our psalm is 63A. You can find that in your hymnals. We are going to have a cantor who will sing the refrain for us first. We will join in with all of the refrains, and the cantor will sing the verses.
I will sing the songs of praise to you.
Our epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Here, John explains really what the fruits of faith really are, and they're really of two kinds. The first is that faith itself holds on to God, and that faith is a gift from God as well. That's our connection to the vine. But then, just as a vine helps the branch produce fruit, so God wants us to produce good fruit by following his commands. We read from 1 John chapter 3. Dear children, let us love not only with word or with our tongue, but also in action and truth. This is how we know that we are of the truth and how we will set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We also receive from him whatever we ask because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. This then is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in God and God in him. This is how we know that he remains in us. We know it from the Spirit whom he has given to us. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the words and works of Christ. The gospel lesson gives us the theme for every Sunday, and yet here it is again. Jesus calls himself the vine, and we are the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he's going to cut off, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean. The word there in Greek is the same word for pruned. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'm going to remain in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you continue to bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. The word of the Lord. Please be seated for our next hymn, Christ the Vine. This is new to us in our new hymnal, so if you'd like to open up to 709, that would be helpful. Our cantor will sing the first verse for us. We will join on the second.
And right.
If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Your branches connected to the vine. I get a chance to see some of the kids' artwork now and again over at school. And probably you've seen your share of maybe your relatives making sure you put one up on your own refrigerator, right? Have you ever seen a child drawing a tree who put branches that fell off underneath? It just doesn't happen, right? When we think of a tree, we think of that tree stretching out its limbs, producing more and more branches and more leaves, and it doesn't have anything cut off. But those of us who get a little older, we know that we got to go out and trim the bushes this time of year, don't we? And we got to find all the dead branches in the trees, don't we? And if you are a vintner, like there are a couple around here, they're out there making sure that there are no more dead branches taking up energy on their vines. That is exactly the way our God wants it. And it's amazing to me how his creation really reflects what he wants us to see. Let me just read a couple of verses from our text. I am the true vine, says Jesus. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Branches. That's the way God sees us. We are those branches. That's exactly what Jesus said here. But in order to live, in order to prosper, in order to be productive, we must be connected to Christ Jesus. We know what that connection is, don't we? It is the faith that God has given us in our hearts. And God describes this as being grafted into the vine through some of his apostles a little later on. We must keep our connection to that vine because your eternal life depends on it. And it's so that you can bear much fruit for the Father. Now, Christ made that connection, and that's what we need to see as well. When a vine grows, it's the one that puts out the branches, isn't it? Or a farmer comes and grafts a few new branches in that are living from another plant, and that's a way that you get vines, productive vines. This is exactly what God wants. Our lives depend upon the connection that is made there, and our Heavenly Father makes sure that that happens. How does that happen in real life? It happens by His Word. That Word comes into our life, and that grace that comes from the gospel connects us to Christ Jesus. These aren't just merely, you know, ink on paper, a good story. God wants to write his grace and his love in our hearts as we read these things. And the Holy Spirit makes that work. This is why pastors insist on children memorizing their Bible, right? Their Bible passages. This is why we present Bible classes, so that you can make that connection even stronger. Because no branch can bear fruit by itself. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You're dead if you are disconnected from the vine. Oh, we know that ourselves. If you go outside, you see on various corners piles of branches that didn't get picked up last fall. And as some of these good gardeners get out there and they notice that, oh, the tree put out these branches, they're all green, but there's one there in the middle, needs to be taken out because it's dead. Needs to be cut off. It is this that we need to avoid. Because if we, as Christ's branches, become dead, we are spiritually and eternally dead. And just like a tree cannot put on its leaves, cannot dress for spring, neither could we. We would be ready for the fire. Someone who is in that condition in our world may be living and breathing and walking around, but he is unable or unwilling to take God as he is. He is unable or unwilling to truly accept what God has written, nor can he accept the Spirit of God. But here Jesus is speaking especially to his disciples, and this actually was on Maundy Thursday evening, of all things. And you can imagine what that was like the next day when his life was taken. How can we be connected into that mind, they probably thought, if they remembered this section. Well, we know exactly what happened, don't we? We know who is life, and that is our Savior, Christ Jesus. He proved it by rising from the dead, didn't he? And even though he was punished for our sins with death, yet he overcame death. And that is the power of his life. And so he talks to Christians who already have that life of faith. And he's talking to those who have been pruned, cleaned by the Father at times, to produce even more. And how sad, we're the ones on this side of heaven, we look at ourselves and we say, oh Lord, don't give me any more, I can't handle any more. And yet it's amazing what God can do through those who are struggling, who have been pruned, disciplined, so that we can produce even more fruit. We are clean, not because we ourselves are so full of life, but because the vine fills us with his life. He earned that right when he rose from the dead. And it's one thing about Christians, we still need to be pruned again and again and again, year after year. The same vines need to be pruned. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Maybe you've looked it up online along the way. It's amazing the difference between a spring vine, where they let all the leaves grow and start pumping energy into that vine. But then before, just as the fruit is coming onto it, they go out and they cut. They're vicious to those poor plants, and they cut off whole sections of the plant. And what the plant does is puts all its energy into the bearing the fruit. And that's exactly what God wants. Christians are always in that state of transition from needing God's energy to be alive to continuing to produce the fruit that God wants us to do. And like I said at the beginning, this is that unity of the concept that God wants us to see, that our good works and our spiritual life really do go hand in hand. And we are in constant danger of falling off the vine. That if the temptation is grave enough, it might separate us from God's love. And yet he still puts his effort into us so that we bear fruit. He fills us with life from the inside so that that connection remains strong. The only connection that matters, the connection that comes in Christ Jesus. So as you go through life, and as you endure the various difficulties in life, remember that sometimes God is pruning you so that he can make somebody else even more fruitful, so that your fruit may bless others around you, that maybe how you face the end of your life may make an impression on somebody who has so much fear, that your graciousness and love to those who are around you would make an impression in their hearts and see that even though Christians are sinful, they are also those who are moved by love and they love one another. This is the life that God wants us to live. So let's talk a little bit about the idea that we want to produce fruit and not be cut off. In terms of good works, this is the basic idea. All right, you ready? Good works are necessary. It says that in all my doctrine books. Good works are necessary. They're something that must be done. They are a part of faith. They flow from faith. But then they tell you in the same book, a line or two later, good works are not necessary for salvation. So remember those two phrases. In order for that unit concept to work that I've talked about earlier about the life of the vine, yeah, good works are part of the whole picture. That fruit that comes is part of the picture. But that life is not dependent on the fruit. Actually, the fruit is dependent on the life, isn't it? The fruit, the good works that we produce, are always dependent on the idea that we are connected to that vine. But that's exactly what our Heavenly Father wants. He is the one who is the vintner in this case. And as every vintner I know, if you run down to Sauk, what is the name of the place there, or the one out here west of town? If you want some good wine, go take a look at those places. They want to be able to produce a crop. They want to be able to produce some wine. Well, that's exactly what the Heavenly Father wants. He wants to produce fruit. So it's important for us to see what happens here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, he says in another place. Faith and works are intimately connected, just like the vine and the branch and the fruit are intimately connected. Without faith, there are no good works. Might a person, by his own reason and without faith, do something that is good for others? I always use the example of a rich man who, after taking a lot of money from a lot of poor people, decides he's going to build a hospital in the town that he fleeced. You got to say that, okay, building a hospital is going to help a lot of people. But if he has no faith in God, it does him no good. He's only doing it to repair his name or make himself look like he was good for his lifetime. Without faith, we can do nothing God-pleasing. But God does want us to do things like that. Now, I don't expect you all to build hospitals. That's not the point. God wants us to do good things in our world. But he doesn't want us sitting there and counting off every little, oh, look, God, you got to put another mark up there. Notice that one. That's not the way we should do it. We should do it as a part of our life, a part of what we want to do in life, right? He wants us to be those who want to produce fruit for our Heavenly Father. He wants to live that life of faith connected to that vine to produce those fruits of faith. Be true, dear Christians, to your vine. And without thinking too hard about it, take the time to bless others. Our living flows from that connection we have with God. And we don't want to be fruitless. Without me, you can do nothing, Paul said in Philippians. God who works in you to do his good pleasure, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's from Hebrews 11, verse 6. Notice who gets the credit for doing good works. It's God in us, giving us that life and that faith. God empowers us to bless those around us, to love those around us. Without that connection, there is no love. Without that connection, there is no good fruit. But with that connection, we stand up for biblical morality in a society that has given itself over to lawlessness and corruption and perversion. We have higher standards for our society than the world around us, and they're going to give us a hard time, and it's going to feel like we're being pruned. And God may let us be pruned a little bit there by Satan. But let us stand and be connected to that vine, never letting go from God. This connection to Christ is the basis for his church and what that church does, bringing others to faith. We are united in Christ, and we are the body of Christ, just like the branch is a part of the body of a vine. And Christ wants us to support the vine. There's always a little back and forth there. As the leaves catch the sun, they put some back into the vine, and the vine provides the leaves with water. Without that water, they would be dead. But here we are, fruitful because of Christ. So now what do we do to produce fruit? Luther's Catechism has a great way to talk about that. It's called Luther's Table of Duties. It just asks different people from different perspectives. He starts out various ones. Are you a spouse? Are you a government leader? Are you a boss? All right? Are you whatever? And then he says, here's what you need to do. I like to just review some of those. Are you a spouse? Have you treated your spouse like the royalty that God wants you to treat them? Have I made every effort to keep my children close to Christ because he speaks to fathers and to mothers? Or did traveling teams get in the way? And so my children got the impression that any excuse is okay to skip church. Did I recognize that I could go to other churches or fellowship while on vacation? Are you a child? Well, we all are. Did you obey your parents and recognize them with honor? Did you try to teach your kids the same? Did you honor your teachers? Did you watch your impertinent attitude? Are you an employer or employee? To the employee, I asked, did you give a good day's pay for a good day's work? And of course, we can reverse that, right? Dear employer, did you give a good day's pay for a good day's work? Did you, as an employee, work even when the boss was having a little trouble and is doing well what he's supposed to do, being a little bossy? He owns the business. He's got the right to be a little curmudgeonly at times. Your people continue to serve in all of your roles and do it to the best of your ability in love for God. All these good works that we do with intention, that we do by the power of Christ Jesus, are intertwined with the very doctrine of Christ and the doctrine that he spoke. And boy, did he bring it together here in this section on Maundy Thursday. Our good works bind us now together here on earth, one to another, as we love one another and bless one another, because that's the way Christ wants it to happen. By this expression of love through the gospel, faith is nurtured. We are encouraged when we come to church with those we know that believe the same thing we do. And when that faith is shaken, when we struggle with our own temptations, we have people there who've probably gone through the same thing and are willing to give you an ear. All this is the love that God wants us to give. Let us be patient with one another. And that even though we know each other as sinners who don't always produce beautiful grapes, sometimes they're the sour ones, yet we rejoice in one another because Christ has continued to produce good things in us. Let us be satisfied with repentant hearts that join together with us. Keep that connection by praying one for the other, offering a personal connection to others. Keep that connection by fulfilling his purpose, by producing the fruit that God expects. Keep that connection and keep that faith strong. At my previous church, we planted an oak out front. Any of you have an oak? They are beautiful trees. They take forever to get going, right? And in those first few years, oh my, there are branches all over the place. And in the last part of the years, you get all the tree droppings, right? All the fruit that falls off them, all the nuts that fall off of them. Can't we ever be satisfied? I'm just teasing. But isn't it amazing what an oak really is? It uses the blessing God gives, sunshine and water, to grow, to keep itself together, to become one of God's majestic things here on earth. Let us make ourselves like those oaks of righteousness. Let us stay connected to the vine and then fulfill God's purpose of good works while we stay connected to him. Amen. Please rise. May the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It looks like we're having a little trouble with the computer. So maybe they can edit later, but should I come over and... Okay, they're asking for the guy who might be able to help. You got it back up. But what's happening? It is connected back here. Okay, this is a little different computer. No, how about this one? It won't do that either. We are having lots of trouble with this thing. Nope. Where are we at? Here's the problem, it's already up there. Nope, that's not it. Okay. We're going to start. Please sit down, everybody. Relax. Sorry. Here, I didn't let you sit down. Don, can you edit this out? Wow.
Creation offers praise.
offering will be at the alms box on the way out the door for tonight. We continue with our prayers.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We pray for a few of our members. Lord God, we pray for Devin Skye, who will be undergoing eye surgery over the next couple of weeks. Please, if it is possible, make that date earlier rather than later. Bless her as she deals with this difficulty in her life. Bless the work of the doctors and nurses that the surgery may be successful. We pray today for the families of Jean Wood and Jerry Harrison, whom you have taken to glory over this last week. Lord God, we rejoice in the faith that you gave to them. Bless and encourage us all that we are looking forward to the same glory that they are now experiencing through faith in Christ Jesus. Encourage our faith that we may one day join that heavenly band and the feast that is in heaven. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray for baby Willow Grace Smittle to be born at the end of May. Continue to be with her as she endures a very difficult pregnancy with her mother and the difficulty that she has in her own body. Again, bless the work of the doctors and nurses. Prepare everyone, parents and doctors and nurses, to do their best that she may survive and have a wonderful life and thrive connected to you, her vine. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And we continue with our prayer for grace.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face ever shine upon you. The Lord grant you peace for all your days.
We conclude with our final hymn, Christ is with me. I think our congregation has sung this before, so let's enjoy. Christ is with me.
The congregation will now sing Christ is with me, hymn number 681, 681, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Good evening once again. Couple of quick announcements. Next week we have the PTO brunch. Save some room in here for that. I'm sure it will be wonderful. It's coming up actually this Sunday, isn't it? PTO is looking for new people to serve on their board. Please, if you are interested, please make that important to yourself and to our congregation. If you are interested, we have some interesting things being sold downstairs, and one of them is from LWMS. What is that one called again? Thai Village. One of our missions in Southeast Asia does an interesting thing. They employ people to make jewelry and bags and other neat things that are fashionable. Please go take a look at those, as well as the kids are going to have their big kickball tournament coming up, and they have some T-shirts, caps, and water bottles to sell down there and to support our school. You can see our spelling bee winners. What did I miss? The funeral for Jerry is next Tuesday at 11 o'clock, if you're interested. Next Tuesday at 11 o'clock for Jerry Harrison. Good evening to all of you, and be blessed in the resurrection reality of Christ.
The Sunday morning worship Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday, or YouTube on Sunday at 9 a.m. at www.youtube.com/@St. John's Baraboo 1163. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. This is television the television producer today is Don Harmon. This is Cindy Allen. And may God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Christ Jesus, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist